In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, when you hear the word deception, what do you think of? Hollywood? TV advertising? Advertising programs? Used car salesmen? There's no doubt that deception is quite pervasive in our society. Even the newspaper headlines suggest that there may be wolves in sheep's clothing, but not only wolves in sheep's clothing, but also wolves in shepherd's clothing as well. And Matthew and the other disciples gathered around Jesus would probably just answer and say, "So, what's new?" Deception has always been a problem for the church, because we are always under attack from the great deceiver himself, Satan. The attacks come from within the church, from false prophets, and they come from outside the church, from pseudo-Christian religions and from societal spirituality that infect our day and age, especially since that Tuesday in September last. All false teaching, all false religion, all false worship have a common denominator: a reliance on the law, on legalism as a way of life. This deception views life as merely something that needs adjusting, a few minor adjustments, a few helpful suggestions, and then life can get back on track and be as good as new. This deception always puts us at the center and pushes Christ and his forgiveness to the fringe of focus. As Martin Franzmann would put it, there can be no such thing as the successful lie. It is always exposed by the fruit it bears. Because deception finds its way into our lives, because bad fruit so often is found in our lives as Christians, as students, as pastors, as professors. Perhaps that is why the church raises a few questions at ordination and installation of pastors. Questions like, do you believe the canonical books of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice? Do you accept the three ecumenical creeds as faithful testimonies to the truth of the Holy Scriptures? And do you reject all the errors which they condemn? Do you believe that the unaltered Augsburg Confession is a true exposition of the Word of God and a correct exhibition of the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? Do you solemnly promise that you will perform the duties of your office in accordance with these confessions? Will you faithfully instruct both young and old in the chief articles of Christian doctrine? Will you forgive the sins of those who repent? And will you promise never to divulge the sins confessed to you? Will you minister faithfully to the sick and dying? Will you demonstrate to the church a constant and ready ministry, admonishing the people to a lively confidence in Christ and holy living? And then the one question that probably, if we've gotten past all the others, that trips us up: will you adorn the office of the public ministry with a holy life? Such questions require answers that are not subtle or shifting sand. No, the answers required come from the firm foundation of the word that Christ gives his disciples, the word that he teaches the word that he plants in our hearts at baptism. And it is a word of forgiveness for all our sin. It is a word that covers all of our deceptions with the truth of his forgiveness, a forgiveness won for us, purchased for us with his death on the cross. When Jesus says that only the one who does the will of my Father will enter the kingdom of heaven, he is pointing not to our works, but rather to faith in what he has done. For in the Gospel of John, Jesus is asked, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And his answer is not deceptive. "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." That is how the house is built on the rock. That is how fruit is born in our lives, through faith in Christ Jesus, that faith that is given and nurtured through the word of Christ that is heard, that is lived as it lives in us. Jesus shapes and molds the wills of those whom he has called, building our lives on the very firm foundation of his word, so that when the rains and the floods and the winds of daily life beat against us, these no longer make us fall, nor do they make us become bitter. Rather, they only serve to strengthen faith and to draw us closer to our sure and certain refuge and strength, God, who has made his good and gracious will known to us in the person of Jesus Christ, our faithful Savior and Good Shepherd. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.